Oh, yeah, 1996, where they cloned a sheep named Dolly. Tupac was tragically shot and killed. Jim Carrey just wanted to give you free cable, and the worst movie of the 90s since Dancing with Wolves hit theaters. But through all that, the Billboard must have had some hot tracks, right? Well, we'll dive into some music and try to answer that on this all-new episode. What's up, and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall, a podcast where we take a look at everything the memorable decades of the 80s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. We'll do this by providing our personal experiences and hopefully stir some rad memories, fun, and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us, and we promise you'll have an awesome time. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by someone who took third place in a Macarena dance contest. It's my fly friend, Rob.
I was robbed.
Nah, probably.
Yeah. I should have took first place in that.
First place.
Well, hey, today's...
It's not a hard dance to do.
Well...
It's just the...
It's very technical.
This is it.
A lot of technical.
Okay. Yeah.
Today's episode is dedicated to all you bachelor equestrian riders out there looking to enjoy a nice, relaxing trail ride.
That's what that is.
Yeah. Now, I want to assure all of you doubters out there who might be thinking to yourself, what does this guy know about horses? Well, I'm somewhat of an expert in horsemanship as I earned my horsemanship merit badge as a Boy Scout in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind as I drop some knowledge on you. Maybe you're listening today and you're just a bachelor looking for a partner. Possibly someone to join you on that nice, relaxing trail ride. Eh? You know, someone who knows how to ride without even falling off. Safety first. Plus, that's embarrassing. You can't be seen with someone inexperienced riding, flopping around in a saddle. That's just embarrassing. You've got to be compatible, and you want someone who will take you to your limits. And that's fair, because you need to have high expectations. Your guarantee is printed right on the box in big letters. It says, girl, when I break you off, I promise that you won't want to get off. Wow, this is some kind of trail ride.
This is.
maybe you're sitting there flossing. One might say you're peeping her stilo.
Mm.
Yeah. Oral hygiene is key, Dave. They say flossing is the number one way to remove plaque in places a brush can't reach. That's Plus, true. If memory serves me correctly, peeping her stilo is a reference to the horse's feet.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's
You're thinking, just once, if I had the chance, the things I would do to her and her body, every single portion, send chills up and down her spine. This ride sounds exhilarating.
Sounds like something.
But before you get all nasty, we want to give you some advice. You're going to want to start with a quick game of show and tell. I think that's fair. You need to know what you're dealing with. No surprises. Number two, once you reach the ponytail, you're going to want to lurk all over and through her. It's basic horsemanship. It never hurts to do a little pre-trip inspection. You got to get all up in there.
All up in there.
Yep. You might be asking yourself, how will we know when we've reached our destination? Well, you'll know you're on the jockey team when you reach the stream. I can't be sure, but I believe that's a reference to an obscure body of water somewhere along the trail.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So anyhow.
Obscure.
Yeah. So anyhow, if your saddle is waiting, come and jump on it.
Yeah.
Because you're in the right place.
Well, this week's intro is magic and seems to have a lot of innuendos.
I found that in Horse and Hound.
Horse and Hound. Yes. Yeah. Very good. Horse and Hound.
Yeah.
Avid reader of Horse and Hound.
That's right. Yeah.
I think the writer lives in Notting Hill. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, after your equestral intro, Rob, didn't know horses is where we'd start out today, but saddle up and ride, huh, partner? And tell us the topic for this week's episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I was thinking about my horse, my trail ride.
Yeah, because it was all about horses.
Yeah. So today we are looking at the Billboard Top 100 for this week in 1996, so October 10th, 1996.
Hey, you got the right date this time.
Hey,
our last Billboard topic, you kind of skewed off.
Yeah, and there was a, yeah, I did. I know that was, and then we have, there was some even and odd.
Yeah, we'll rules. Talk about that.
Okay, all right, okay. Yeah, so October 10th, 1996, Billboard Top 100.
All right, Billboard Top 100 is back. We love the music, And we always have a ton of fun going through the most popular songs of a particular week. We're traveling way back in this one, 1996. That's a good one. You would have already graduated high school, starting college in 10 October.
Yeah, that's what I enjoyed about this list is that it was a very transitional year for me. And so listening to some of these songs brought back
way memories.
Yeah, it did. Very, beautiful. Very important year for me.
Well, as usual, we're going to look through all these hot tracks. Rob just said they're hot. So that's right. We're not overemphasizing this. These are really good songs.
They are good songs.
From 1996, we're going to rack and stack what we think are the best ones. However, as Rob mentioned, little twist. At the end of our last show, I mentioned we're selecting our 10 songs from the Hot 100. However, you had to select from all the even number songs.
Correct.
I selected from the odd number songs.
Correct.
So our over and under will be zero.
That's good.
Because there's no chance we can repeat unless you wandered out of your realm and found a number and you're like, I just can't resist. I'm taking an odd number here.
Even right? I didn't.
So even you couldn't even break that rule.
I couldn't. Yeah.
So really you only had access to 50 songs this time as opposed to the 100. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of good songs.
There was.
So how did you do? How'd you like your 50 you had to choose from?
I'm going to say right off the bat, of my 10 total,
yes,
we're going to have some discussion about my picks.
Oh.
And because I didn't necessarily pick the best of the, I picked the ones I liked.
Well, that's what we're doing here. You picked it.
And there's some.
We're not doing the best, Rob.
It's an eclectic list.
Yeah. We don't do the best. We do what we like. It's our show. We get to pick what we like.
So I picked based on kind of nostalgia. I remember time. You know, there were smells and times and
you know,
that
this
I remember
is our,
from 96.
So. This is our 42nd episode, and you're finally pinning down the nostalgia piece.
Dang it.
You're getting it. You're figuring it out.
All right.
So, well, 96, you were off to college. I'm living in Japan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're far away. Right outside of Tokyo, I remember all these songs. They were on the radio all the time, out at the club, things like that. I always listened to a lot of music in my life, but I will say when I first moved to Japan, while I was in Japan, I listened to it a lot more. Maybe being away from family and friends, music kind of gave me some solace. Just spent a lot of time absorbing all the music, bought a lot of CDs. Mm-hmm. So I was spending a lot of time. My list is wide amongst styles, genres.
True.
But nonetheless, as usual, mine is way awesome. We'll see how yours goes. I have great songs from this time, even though I only drew from the odd numbers. I only had 50 to go from. I got 10 real good ones out of that 50. So, I got some... got some party stuff. I got some, you know, sing-along stuff. I got, it's a nice spread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, like I said, a lot of mixtapes in my 87 Toyota Corolla cruising around. Mm-hmm. My transition to college was a slow one. I didn't go right out of high school. I went to community college. So
yeah, we know that.
And
that's still college, Rob.
I know, but I only went, because I had received a small scholarship. And so I went. Other than that, I don't think I would have gone. So
yeah, you're so smart.
So driving between home and school and that phase of my life. So that
lots of music.
A lot of this music was playing in my car.
You have a CD player?
No, it was actually a detachable face cassette player.
I didn't even know they made those.
In my car. And then I had an adapter.
Did you have one of those adapters?
That went to my... Discman.
Yeah. Did it have it had like the tape you plug in with the wire?
It was awesome.
Those were great.
Yep. Cruised around in that. So that's what I listened to all my stuff in.
Well, that sounds good. So looks like 96 might get the job done.
Yeah. This will be good.
Yeah. Well, give me one reason to stay here and hopefully it makes you happy as we ride a pony over to the Billboard Hot 100 for this week in 1996. Real quick, fans, before we dive into our list, if you want to ensure you never miss an episode of Totally Asian Eyes Recall, which you definitely should, if you haven't already done so, make sure you hit that subscribe button, then share it with a friend, let everybody know about the show, and it'll help our show grow and spread the Rob and Dave experience worldwide. Worldwide. World ride's a weird word.
That's okay.
We'll go with worldwide.
There's a lot of riding happening today.
It is. You got it in my head.
That's the theme.
With all the riding. Yeah, the theme. I don't know how that became the theme of the show.
Yep.
But we'll say that. So, well, let's make this a Billboard list to remember, Rob, and show me the money with your first song.
All right. So my first one is... You're shaking your head.
No, I saw this on the list, so I knew you were going to... I saw this on the list. I knew you were going to pick it. Is this the Hootie?
It is the Hootie.
It is the Hootie. It's good. Not their most recognizable Hootie song, but it's
no,
a good one.
No, no, no. And I think the critics will echo your sentiment. So, but this was number 54 this week in 1996. Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
It's their second single from the second album, their second album, Fairweather Johnson, which I almost like it better than Crack Review, which is
blasphemy.
A bold statement, I know. the album debuted at number one on the Billboard 200 in May of 96. While Crack Review was still on the charts, which is kind of cool, it was included in Pitchfork Media's 2010 list of 10 career-killing albums of the 90s.
Oh.
Stylus Magazine shared sentiments, including it in their definitive guide to the follow-up, saying, really, everyone saw this one coming a mile off. Who was really gonna care about another Hootie album?
You cared about a Hootie album.
I did. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Peaked at number 38 on the Billboard Hot 100. Their last Hot 100 entry as of 2023. Odd stats, outside the U.S., Tuckerstown reached number two in Canada, ending 1996 as the country's 25th most successful single, and it was number 20 in Iceland.
That's not bad.
The song is named, there's a village of Tuckerstown, Bermuda, the mostly black working class residents of which were compelled to sell their land in the 1920s. So there's some history there. Trivia. During their early years, the band independently released two cassette demo EPs in 1991 and 1992. In 1993, they pressed 50,000 copies of a self-released EP called A, Coochie Pop, B, Hugo Largo, C, The Wolf Brothers, D, Imperfect Circle.
I like Coochie Pop.
Excellent!
Nice job. There was. Yeah. The band self-funded the EP for $8,000. Several of the EP songs became hits when they were re-recorded for their later major. So on the album, they had The Old Man and Me, which was on Fairweather Johnson, Hold My Hand, and I Only Want to Be With You.
So, Only Want to Be With You.
Yeah. So that's my number seven.
Number seven. Started with the Hootie.
The Hootie.
Some off the path Hootie.
Yeah.
No. Not everybody's number one Hootie.
That's a great album. Yeah. I love the album.
Poor Blowfish.
Still own it.
I feel bad for the Blowfish. They just got left to the wayside.
They did. And they're talented, and I think they get kind of a bad.
They get a bad rap.
Yeah, I do.
That's okay. Yeah. So good start. I didn't hate that song.
Yeah.
It's always a plus when I don't hate the song that you give us.
I know.
We're one for one. Well, I have a fun song. Get you going at number seven. It's called Ready to Go by Republica.
Oh. Good song.
I really like this. It gets me hyped.
I'm excited about this playlist.
Yeah, it's good. This is really good.
This is going to be a good one. Possibly our best playlist? I don't know.
It's going to be up there. So, this is Republica, an English alternative band. I actually had the CD. Talked about buying a bunch of CDs. I heard this song, bought the CD. I don't know that I love the rest of it, but back then you had to buy it to get the song, right? They didn't have a single anywhere I could find. So I even went to the Tower Records off base in Tokyo. Couldn't find it. So
I think I owned it as well. And I think I remember thinking I paid $15 for a single.
For a single.
Yeah.
But that's what you did then. Well, number 59 this week on the US Hot 100. It topped out at 56. Probably should have been higher, but we'll let that go. Didn't chart super high anywhere else in 96. But in 97, it went to number 8 in Belgium and number 12 in Scotland and Iceland. I found through my research, my New Zealanders used to come home for all of our music, which I still love the New Zealanders. But as the 90s went on, getting late 90s, seemed like the Icelandic folks decided that they like a lot of the same music that I like. So I do want to go to Iceland, though. Seems like a great place.
That's why I put odd stat on my note, because it was like it said here and here and here, and then it goes, and 20 in Iceland.
Yeah, I like Iceland.
Why is Iceland even a factor? Iceland's great. Sorry, Iceland.
It's okay. You know. Well, the reason for the surge in 97 was that they released a remix version, which charted better than the original. The big change on the remix was the addition of a guitar bridge instead of a piano bridge. So apparently people liked the guitar better than the piano. It was described as having yummy hooks. I know you like these descriptive words.
Yummy hooks.
And breathless dance beats.
Ooh, I like it.
To which I will agree.
Yeah.
So I put it on here because I think it's a fun song. It's not the best song I've ever heard in my life, but it's fun. And when I hear it, it gives me good memories back to 1996.
I agree.
And it sounds like 1996.
Absolutely sounds like
absolutely.
I love it. So. No, it's a good one. Well done. Republica. Done. Love it. My number six.
Six.
Is?
Better be good. 'Cause you were a dream.
Let's see if you know this. We talked about an eclectic mix.
This sounds like Tina Turner.
No.
That does sound like it, right?
It does. It's got kind of a older... It
does.
Throwback to kind of a soul.
I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know the song.
That's okay.
It's my first time hearing it. Yeah. Is this one of your 112s or...
No.
Mint Conditions?
No.
They were hanging around during this time.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
This is... the name of the song is called Ascension, Don't Ever Wonder.
Okay.
It's by a gentleman named Maxwell.
Ah, the Maxwell.
Yep.
I'm not a big Maxwell guy.
No, I wasn't either.
I just know he has that one video where he has no shirt on and everybody freaked out about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. His whole, the CD that this was on was kind of his big thing. But this is number 36 this week in 96. American R&B neo-soul singer Maxwell, the album Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite, has since been cited by music critics for helping form the neo-soul movement. That gained popularity in the late 1990s with people like D'Angelo and Erykah Badu. Released as a second single from his debut album, Urban Hang Suite. It peaked at number 36. It spent
Did you say 18- Urban Hang Suite?
Urban Hang Suite.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right.
It's actually Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite.
Gotcha.
It peaked at number 36. Yeah. It also spent 18 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100. It charted in Scotland, reaching number 52.
Beautiful.
Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite was named one of the year's 10 best albums in lists published by Rolling Stone, Time, USA Today. The album was also included in the book of 1001 Albums You Must Hear Before You Die. Descriptions include masterpiece, keeps the groove in motion, a rightfully hit single. It cruises at a chilled mid-tempo pace, a tasty single, brilliant, dreamy soul offering. The class just oozes out of the speakers. So good it hurts. The next best thing since soul was invented. Lights off, stimulus on. Slinky, smooth, slow, sexiest record of 1996.
Man, they like those words because my song, previous song, Ready to Go, they said yummy.
Yeah.
This one says tasty. Yeah. So
I shared this playlist with my 13-year-old daughter.
How'd that go?
Said, hey, check this out. She heard this song and she goes, this song is vibing.
Oh, nice. There you go. It's vibing.
In the period before the album's trivia, the period before the album's release, Maxwell wrote and demoed songs for a subsequent studio album and embarked on an African American college tour with Groove Theory. And what other American hip hop group consisting of Wyclef Jean, Praz,
and
Lauryn Hill?
Come on.
Fugees. There you go.
Excellent. Nice job.
Yeah, their 1996 album, The Score, was certified 7 times platinum and was nominated at the Grammy Awards for Album of the Year. This marked the second time a rap album received a nomination for the award.
Yeah, probably should have just phrased the question like, who do you tour with? Then give the options. Because as soon as you say Wyclef and Praz, that's over, right? Yeah. So, well, as I've said and at the beginning of this, and we've talked about before in 96, we've broken apart because I'm in Japan. So we didn't see each other for a couple years.
I can remember the day you left.
Yeah.
I was working at the grocery store and I remember you came and said you're heading out of town.
Yeah.
And out you went.
I guess I didn't realize till we'd done this podcast how far into the like R&B groove scenario you went into.
Yeah.
I just assumed you were kind of still listening to the same stuff. But the Maxwell's, the Erykah Badu's, I didn't go down that road with you. I was more into the alternatives and some rap.
Well, and even some of the alternative I was listening to that'll come up here isn't the
mainstream
alternative. Gosh. So, yeah.
You're that guy. Like, I'm going to be the cool guy. I'm going to be off the beaten path. That's you. All right. Well, my number six is a great West Coast sounding rap song. And if that doesn't give it away, settle in for some West Side Connection singing their Bow Down. It's got a good rhythm. They do use some words.
Hey, well, that's
there are some words in there that are prevalent in rap songs.
But it is what it is.
All right, this was number 21 this week, but did go to number one on the U.S. top R&B hip hop albums. This is a super rap group. That's what they called it. Ice Cube.
I was just going to ask you, who is in the group?
That's right. Ice Cube, Mac 10, and WC. That's all it said, WC. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know who WC is, but I looked him up and there wasn't a lot to find. Pretty cool rap track. I've always liked the lyric. Everybody freeze on your knees, but naked please. Because Ice Cube seems so polite during a robbery because...
He's asking. Very nicely.
Yes. On your knees, but naked please. So take all your clothes off.
Hey.
All right. So if I have to get robbed, I'll go with Ice Cube and his great manners, obviously, during the robbery.
It makes you just want to go, I'll do that.
Well, here's my wallet.
Yeah, here you go.
I mean, if you're going to say please.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's different.
I remember hearing this song a ton while in Florida. I moved from in early 97. I moved to Florida and this played a lot down there. So maybe they were a little behind because it's on the countdown in 96. Mm-hmm. But I remember a lot down there. Looking at the Billboard this week, it definitely needs to be part of my list. One of the best 10 songs I saw on there. So, okay. Bow Down.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a song that was on a mixtape, let's say. Or
you didn't know that song?
Well, I knew of it, but I didn't
listen to it.
No, wasn't. Sorry.
That's poor.
I know. There's a lot of stuff I listen to now that I go, why wasn't I listening to it then? I feel
that song has a great beat.
Yeah.
It's very rhythmic.
Yeah. And actually, I think my honorable mention today will actually fit into that conversation that I respect it now. I should have known more about it then.
I'm very interested now.
So I was disappointed in myself that I didn't know it.
All right.
My number five. Are we at number five?
Number five? Yes. Oh, very good.
I like it.
Yeah, it's always good. Garbage.
This is garbage. Yeah. Stupid girl.
I don't know if you have high expectations for your band if you name them garbage.
Right?
That's cool.
It gets the attention, though.
Gets the attention. We always talk about...
This band is named Garbage.
Yeah, we always talk about the creative process. We're sitting around. Hey, what do we want to call ourselves?
This sounds like garbage.
Garbage.
There it is.
Let's just be garbage.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't forget it, though.
No.
You have a name like that, it's memorable.
Yeah. This is Stupid Girl, Garbage. This was number 42 this week in 1996. American rock band, Garbage, we talked about it.
Garbage.
From their self-titled debut studio album, Stupid Girl features lyrics about a young woman's ambivalence and has become an anthem for a girl who won't settle for less than what she wants.
Yeah.
Shirley Manson, lead singer, has
said... I like
said,
her voice.
Yeah, she's got a good
voice. Good singer.
Shirley Manson has said, and I like this, she later added, Stupid Girl is really about squandering potential.
Ooh.
It's our version of Madonna's Express Yourself, but a little more subversive.
Okay.
In my notes, there's such a 90s grunge statement.
Yeah, it's saying this is
Madonna's.
Yeah.
This is our version of Express Madonna. Yourself.
But is saying Stupid Girl subversive?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
But I'm not an artist.
Yeah, right. Stupid Girl became the band's highest charting single. Stupid Girl was nominated for 2 Grammy Awards, Best Rock Song and Best Rock Performance by a Duo or Group, but lost to Tracy Chapman's Give Me One Reason and your favorite band, Dave Matthews Band, So Much to Say.
That is awful.
Described as malignant, dirty, devious, and sneering pop.
Them losing to Tracy Chapman and Dave Matthews is a dumpster fire.
I agree with that.
That's not good.
Another trivia question for you. You'll get this one. The video for Stupid Girl is a performance piece inspired by what 1995 David Fincher movie starring Morgan Freeman?
That is something. Is it just Morgan Freeman?
No.
Let's go with 7.
Excellent. Nice job.
Yep. The video was inspired by the title sequence. 7 was not expected to perform well but became the 7th highest grossing film of the year. In the years since its release, consensus on the film has shifted. 7 is now regarded as one of the best thriller, crime, and mystery films ever made.
I love that movie. We will do that movie on this show at some point. 7's fantastic.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
I remember I owned it.
I have to ask these things now because I make assumptions sometimes. And then you're like,
I apologize to the masses about... When I don't know
a
relevant song that should have been
or movie.
Pop culture, it's pop culture norm and I don't know it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's my fault.
You're offending our audience. Yeah. I've been told. So, all right.
I was sheltered.
It was good. All right. Well, good number five. I like Garbage, the band. I don't like garbage in general. At my number five, I've got former Mrs. Nick Cannon, probably better known by another name. But she guest starred in Don't Mess with the Zohan, if you've seen that movie, and she sings Always Be My Baby by, of course, the one and only Mariah Carey.
I can't do Mariah Carey.
You cannot do it all you want. A lot of people do.
No, I will tell you. Never mind. I don't like her, but I was in a relationship at this time, and this song was on a mixtape.
Yes, it was.
Absolutely on a mixtape.
Oh, yeah. It's catchy. This is when I still like Mariah Carey.
Mm-hmm.
As she got later in the 90s, it wasn't my favorite anymore. I like early to mid 90s Mariah. And after that, she kind of loses me. So, well, this was the third single off her Daydream album, sitting at number 41 this week on the U.S. Hot 100, but hit number one. It also hit number one on six other U.S. charts, hit number one in Canada as well. Top 20 in seven other countries, but not her best charting song abroad. This was her 11th number one hit, which at the time tied her with Madonna and Whitney Houston for most by a female artist of all time. It received a Grammy nomination for Best Female R&B Vocal Performance, which she lost to Anita Baker for the song I Apologize.
I was going to say Dave Matthews.
I went and listened to I Apologize by Anita Baker, and because that won the Grammy.
And you think it was a deserving win?
No, I like Mariah Carey's song better.
Anita Baker.
It was a really slow song. I was not familiar with it at all, but it was really slow. So, but finally, Pitchfork, a reputable magazine you love,
apparently
ranked it number 49 of its 250 best songs of the 1990s.
49 out of 250?
49 out of 250. Wow. Always Be My Baby.
Okay.
So there you go, from Mrs. Nick Cannon, or the former Mrs. Nick Cannon.
How many kids did she give Nick?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he's got 20 of them.
Three or four, maybe? Okay. I don't know. All right. I didn't keep up with them. They didn't have their own. They didn't have their own reality show. I couldn't keep up. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Where are we at? My number four.
Your number four.
Another? Here. We're back to the soul.
Back to that.
Yeah. Great album.
I'm sure it is.
Yes.
You got me again.
No.
These songs were not on my
peripheral. I still have this album.
Is this D'Angelo?
It is.
By the way, earlier when I said Maxwell with the shirt off, D'Angelo is the one with the shirt off.
That's right.
He did. I did mix those up.
Later.
It's definitely D'Angelo.
Later he had a song. Yeah.
That brown something, brown sugar. Yep. Brown. I forget what it is.
Great CD. No, I ended up taking a lot of my CDs back to, I don't know if you remember, there was a place called Music Warehouse.
Yes.
And they had used, and they would buy and trade. Sell. Yeah. And I took a bunch of my stuff, but I kept the ones that I thought were going to be timeless. Timers. Like, you know, so I still have those, but yeah. This is number, this is Me and Those Dreamy Eyes of Mine by D'Angelo. It was 74 this week in 96. Did you know his real name is Michael Eugene Archer? Not that you care. This is as high as this song would get.
Why would I know that? Why would I know his
Why would anybody know that? The song is a love song that reflects the intensity of the singer's feelings for his romantic interest. It deals with infatuation and deep desire. His music was so much more than what was expected at the time. That's why I liked it, because it was different. Brown Sugar was his debut album. He did a lot of his own stuff. He played instruments. He arranged it. He did songwriting. It spent 65 weeks on the Billboard 200 top 200 chart. Received platinum certification within a year of its release. It received four Grammy Award nominations: Best R&B Vocal Performance, R&B Song, R&B Album, and Best Male R&B Vocal Performance. Let's see. Rolling Stone included Brown Sugar on its list of essential recordings of the 90s and ranked the album at 183 on their updated list of 500 greatest albums of all time. And they named him 75 of its list of 200 greatest singers of all time.
Oh.
I don't know. Trivia for D'Angelo: contributed to the soundtrack for what 2018 action-adventure video game set in a fictionalized representation of the United States in 1899 and follows the exploits of Arthur Morgan, an outlaw and member of the Vanderlind gang?
Red Redemption 2?
Excellent! That was really specific. Yeah, Red Redemption 2. I would not have got that. D'Angelo, the judges were prepared to give you Red Dead Redemption.
There you go.
D'Angelo previously served as a playtester for the game itself. Due to his love for the series, the game's music team eventually invited him to perform on a song, which was finished in a week.
I know D'Angelo is always critically acclaimed. I just couldn't get into him. It's a little slow. I need something to move to. Mm-hmm. I've never been a slow R&B guy.
Yeah. He's got a great song on his album called Shit Damn Motherfucker. That's the name of the song.
All right.
Yep. There you go.
We'll transition off of that.
Sorry, Sally.
That's fine. When you hear my number four, you want to activate your hips and push your ass out. You know who it is, Rob.
Jodeci.
It is not, you weirdo. This is Jodeci.
Don't tell me. No. This is Tupac.
Yes.
But no.
With not Jodeci.
Are they not on this one?
No.
Am I thinking of a different one?
Yes. I didn't even know they were on any
of them. Who else is on this?
Casey and JoJo.
Yeah, that's Jodeci.
No, they branched off and were Casey and JoJo. Those are different.
I was kind of right.
No.
Casey and JoJo. That's Jodeci.
It's Casey and JoJo.
Yeah, but that's JoJo. They're Jodeci.
They're different.
They were Jodeci.
All right. Well, as you know, this is Tupac. And if it's an option, he's going on my list.
I love this.
This was number 13 this week, but would eventually hit number one on the US Hot 100. How about that? Also number two in New Zealand, but mild success everywhere else. Received a Grammy nomination for Best Rap Performance, losing to LL Cool J's Hey Lover, which is a major fail by the voters. That's awful.
I don't know that I can pull that one up.
Now, if you heard that song, you would know exactly what it is. It's not better than Tupac. This isn't my favorite Tupac song, but it's still Tupac. Fun, Casey and JoJo provide background vocals. Very relevant at this time in my life. I listened to the All Eyes on Me album nonstop, and in the end, it's Tupac. So even if it's not his best song, it's like pizza. Even if it's not the best you've ever eaten, you'll still eat it because it's pizza. Right, so there are some dated lyrics for sure. Mobile phone Sky Pager. You know what that is, Rob? Only the real ones.
I don't know what a Sky Pager is.
What the mobile phone Sky Pager is.
Did you know what a Sky Pager was? Well, or was that just a pager?
Mobile phone. It was a style, yeah.
Oh,
was
it? Okay.
It's a pager. Yeah.
Okay. So, a beeper.
That way his hoes could get a hold of him.
I used to think that. I remember one time right after high school, I worked at a restaurant and I was late to work. And I remember walking up to the main doors because I was late in the. Yep. Kevin was his name. He's a manager. He's out in the parking lot and he's tapping his watch.
Oh.
And I was like, what an asshat.
I couldn't use my beeper.
Well, that's what he said. He goes, why didn't you call?
Yeah.
And this was 97.
See, because the hoes were blowing up my beeper.
And I was like, the only people that had a cell phone or a beeper were drug dealers and pimps.
Well, Ryan.
And I was neither one. And he was, he's possibly one of those. Sorry, Ryan. No. Yes, he was.
No, it's not.
He had some... nefarious stuff going down.
No, he didn't have anything nefarious.
Yeah.
It's just hoes were blowing up his pager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were throwing that 911 up there. I need you to come ride my pony.
Yay. Look at that. Comes back around.
Comes around.
All right. Was it my number three?
Number three.
All right, my number three is a good one.
Oh, it is a good one. Fantastic.
The whole album is good.
Yep.
And fresh flow.
His flow is so unique.
And a microphone.
I love this song because he just throws random things in it. These noises. It transitions into so many different beats. And
I always thought it'd be cool to see him work. Like to sit in a studio with him and just watch how he's bringing in different things and mushing it together, and then
sounds
it comes
a little
out
creepy, but
I know. I think
I just want to watch you. Just want Beck.
I want to
just stand there.
I just want to wear your skin.
Stop it.
Anyway,
all right.
So this is number 82 this week. This is Where It's At by Beck. It was number 82. It was released as the first single of his fifth album, Odelay, which is a great album. The song has a number of spoken samples, many which come from an obscure sex education album titled Sex for Teens,
Parentheses,
Where It's At, a subtitle Beck borrowed. And I wanted to fact check that because that seems...
No?
Well, why would you have a sex education album titled Sex for Teens, Where It's At?
That's where it's at. That's where they're doing it.
Beck earned the Grammy Award for Best Male Rock Vocal Performance for the song. In October of 2011, British music, film, gaming, and culture website NME placed it at number 76 on its list of 150 best tracks of the past 15 years. Descriptors include, Beck gives you little choice but to wholeheartedly accept his invitation to the destination a little up the road. Mm-hmm. Fans of Loser should be equally happy with this. And a happy, party, hearty groove.
It's good.
Trivia for you. Where It's At was the first music video to be broadcast on what All Music video channel created once its predecessor's original content had started to shift its programming.
VH1.
No.
What?
Yeah, no, it's MTV2.
Two.
In 2005.
Forgot about MTV2.
Yeah, MTV2 rebranded with a new logo, a two-headed Rottweiler dog.
That's right.
Billboard reported that the double heads of the dog were made to represent rock and hip-hop, the two sides of music on MTV2.
The only two sides.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, I bet a lot of those teens were engaging in some of that equestrian action.
I know.
Or at least Beck thought so.
Beck thought so. That's where it's
at. Right.
Yeah.
All right, Rob. Well, you're going to know my number three from, fans don't know this, but your favorite Matthew McConaughey, Kate Hudson, romantic comedy, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, that's a cute movie.
So control yourself.
Yeah, it's a cute movie.
I know you like that movie. Yeah. Don't get too excited. It's Follow You Down by the Gin Blossoms.
Oh, I like the Gin Blossoms.
Yeah, they make you feel good.
I was kind of bummed that we didn't get to go see them when they were in town.
Will they be good enough to go see?
I think so.
They just, it's like feel good music.
Oh, Follow You Down.
Follow You Down. Really good. I think Gin Blossoms music, it just feels good. They didn't sing anything depressing.
No,
they weren't talking about killing themselves. I don't know what all the subjects of, but they put a happy tune to everything. So
yeah,
I always like that. Yeah. So Gin Blossoms, one of those bands labeled alternative, not sure that's really what they were, more like I think pop rock, but that's fine. This song was number 43 this week, go to number 9 on the US Hot 100, so a top 10 hit. Number one in Canada, number one in the U.S. adult alternative charts. That's good. As I said, they seem to be radio pop rock, then alternative. But that being said, I like the Gin Blossoms no matter what genre they land in. It's a good song. I still enjoy listening to it. And the Gin Blossoms just kind of makes me feel good, as I said earlier. Any song that reminds me of how much in love Matthew and Kate were in that movie is a home run in my book.
You don't like that movie.
Yeah, how to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. That's great.
Crap fest movie.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
They have the part where Grandpa's always farting and they're playing the cards, the game bullshit, right? If you watch the TBS version, it's really bad because they bull spit.
Well, that's like it's our Great Outdoors.
Great Outdoors.
Blowout Your Kazoo. Blowout Your Kazoo. Some of the edits are the best.
That's the best. Yeah.
All right,
we're up to our number two.
Number two. This is a top seven thing. Is
cruising along, Rob.
Driving me nuts.
It's not driving you anything.
All right, here we go. My number seven. Number seven. My number two. Oh, good one.
We'll be the judge. Yeah, good.
Has this been on a list already?
Yeah, it was on our Billboard. Yes. Remember the rock songs?
Yes. That's right.
Where I went through the rock charts. The 90s. Yeah.
That's right.
It's good, though.
Yeah, I love it.
It can be repeated.
Yep. I love it.
Metallica.
Yep.
With their haircut.
Mm. Oh, yeah. This is their different phase. They moved into more of the...
More into the popular stuff.
So this is Until It Sleeps, Metallica. Yep. Number 96 this week in 1996. Lead single from their sixth studio album, Load. It will go on to reach number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. It's their highest charting single. I think we talked about that on that. We were like, did you know that like this didn't seem like it'd be their highest one, but it was.
Yep.
It's their only top 10 hit in the United States. The song was also their first number one on the Billboard Hot Mainstream Rock track. It became the first officially pirated MP3 on August 10th, 1996.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. The song's music video, directed by Samuel Bayer and inspired by the paintings of Hieronymus Bosch, it won the Best Hard Rock Video Award in 1996. Trivia for you, the lyrics of the song written by Hetfield address a mysterious it, for example, Until It Sleeps.
Oh.
What is the it that Hetfield refers to?
I'll go with herpes.
Oh, as if.
Herpes. Well, it can lay and sleep and then come back, you know.
It's actually much darker than that. It's cancer.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, the lyrics refer to...
I was on the right road.
Yeah, the lyrics refer to Hetfield's mother's battle with cancer. They can be seen as either describing the emotional pain he feels for the loss or the physical pain his mother was feeling while she was ill. Both of his parents were Christian Scientists and did not believe in medicine. The lyrics are also interpreted as dealing with anger issues. Hetfield's father, Virgil, died in late 1996 during Metallica's Load tour.
You know, just from a content standpoint, in the future, maybe you should read the depressing stuff about cancer before I make a joke about it, right?
About herpes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, just as a gee whiz, set me up. That's what you did. All right. So... Well, my number two song is from an artist we found out lived in a magazine underneath your bed.
What?
What?
Oh, bed? Gosh.
Swing.
Oh. Hey. Well, you were late on that. That's fine. It's You're Making Me High by Toni Braxton.
Oh, does she look good in this video?
We're good all the time.
Oh, yeah. She was standing on that little platform. The camera's going around her. I can see it. In the tight.
This is a great song. I remember this at the club.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was a club guy back then.
She cut her hair. She had short hair in this.
It's good.
So good.
I think it was a wig. But maybe. We can debate that later.
I don't know.
She had short hair anyway.
No, that's right. She did. She had the,
So I think most of her, a lot of her hairstyles were wigs.
Oh, yeah.
But that's fine. That's still good, look song. Good. Oh, yeah. Well, number 9 this week on the Billboard, but hit number 1 on the U.S. Hot 100. Also top 10 in 5 other countries, to include number 2 in Australia. So as usual, they know what they're doing down under. Song was produced by Babyface. Sounds like that. Who was everywhere in the 90s. She won her 3rd Grammy Award for Best Female R&B Vocal Performance in 1997 for this. Toni Braxton's great. This has a great hook, fun song to listen to, and definitely is an added to any 90s playlist that I make. And again, I was a club rat back in the day in 96.
Did you just refer to yourself as a club rat? You were not a club rat.
Yeah, we used to go there was an area in Tokyo, it's called Roppongi. It's just the street name, but it's like 2 blocks of bars.
Like a district type
of thing? It's the international district. Okay. And they had this bar called the Gas Panic, huge dance club.
Okay.
And the bartenders would spit fire out of the audience. And they played a lot of this, a lot of house music, but a lot of this type of music too. So, yeah, international club district, club rat, just cruising.
Okay.
Looking for some equestrianism.
Some fellow horseback, some fellow equestrians.
Some fellow horse and hound enthusiasts. All right. Well, before we reveal our number ones, you know where we're going, Rob. The cut line. Yeah. Get it. As we put our list together, we often find it very difficult to rank just 10 in each category. So for your listening pleasure and for our ranking pleasure, we've each selected two more songs just fell out of our top 10, and then we also have an honorable mention song maybe you didn't hear before, or a song you heard before didn't appreciate.
True.
So now you've gone back and gone, that was a better song, and as you said earlier, I probably should have been listening to that as opposed to Hootie and the Blowfish.
That's a true statement so
let's get on with your first cut, Rob. What do you got?
My first cut is
That's 3 songs in this countdown I have not heard before.
Yeah.
This
was on a mixtape that I know it was.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least it's got a little more of an upbeat rhythm than the D'Angelo and the Maxwell.
Yeah.
It definitely sounds like a clubs, party song.
It's a good. Yeah.
Maybe I've heard it in the background.
Yeah.
The rhythm sounds.
And this is one that I had not heard in years since probably 96. And when I was going through the list, I went, oh my gosh, I can remember driving around and this was on a tape. And
so who is it?
This is I Like. It's from the Nutty Professor soundtrack. It's actually Montel Jordan featuring Slick Rick.
I had that soundtrack. I must have gone over that song. I must have gone to other songs over that song.
So, there's number 78 this week in 1996. Montel Jordan, Slick Rick, all the things I've said. Peaked at number 28. It was also Slick Rick's first single since his release from prison.
Oh, yeah. He was in prison.
That's right. So, trivia for you. The song features...
Selling cocaine, right?
Here's the trivia for you. The song features Richard Martin Lloyd Walters, better known as Slick Rick, as English-American rapper and record producer. I Like was also Slick Rick's first single since his release from prison for committing what crime?
He's selling cocaine or?
Well, I don't know. You might. Okay. So he spent 5 years in prison.
Yeah.
2 counts of attempted murder.
Oh, wow. Never mind.
And other charges, including assault, use of a firearm, and criminal possession of a weapon.
No, oh, okay.
Plus, he had some issues with his U.S. residency.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was way
off. The story goes that Slick Rick's mother hired his first cousin as his bodyguard. His cousin tried numerous times to extort money from Slick Rick, so he was fired. The cousin was not happy and tried to rob Slick Rick and threatened to kill the rapper and his mother. So Slick Rick spotted his cousin in his neighborhood and fired at least 4 shots. 1 bullet hit his cousin. Another caught a passerby in the foot.
Nice. Yeah, that's a lot.
So there you go.
That was way off. Yep. I just assumed it was drugs.
I don't
trafficking, possession. No, he's killing people.
That's an unfair assumption.
Unfair assumption. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, all right. Well, I saw there was another song from the Nutty Professor soundtrack on the evens. I thought you would have chose that song, but we could talk about that later.
Okay.
So, well, all aboard, Rob. Very, very relevant. All aboard for my song. So, this is a party song. It's going to make you feel good.
Quad City DJs.
I used to see people on the dance floor in my club rat days.
I was just going to say.
They were doing this.
Club rat days.
I like when they do the choo-choo.
So stupid.
What are you talking about? This is great. The dance floor would get hype when this came on.
Until you rock it.
Listen right here.
Ride this train to, and I know it. So it's
of course you know
it. So stupid.
Because everybody knows it's a hype song. Mm. All right, Rob. Number 7 this week on the Billboard Hot 100. Hit number 3 at its peak. I know you love that. Also hit number 13 in Australia, but only number 95 in the UK. So no train ride for them. Sampled from a Barry White song. Very interesting. They must have sped that up quite a bit. In 2022, Rolling Stone ranked it number 86 on their list of the 200 greatest dance songs of all time. Rolling Stone. So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah. This song is still used in a variety of sporting events, even today. Fun fact, Larry Flick, a writer from Billboard, deemed this a booty jam, Rob, which of course is a thing. We know that, right? So remember, Rob, Michelle.
Now you've got a Billboard. A
reputable source.
Reputable source that backs up
everything.
Booty jam.
But remember, Rob, Michelle, Tamika, and Tanya want to ride your train.
Want to ride this train. All right. Again, with the riding.
There's a lot of riding in 96. 96 had a lot of rides.
Name of that song?
Come on, Ride the Train.
Ride the Train.
Quad City DJs.
I'm writing it down in my notes.
You should write it down in your notes.
Wow. Okay.
Choo-choo.
Okay. Yeah, we'll give you that.
How could you hear that beat and not want to get up and dance? I was surprised you didn't get up and start choo-chooing.
Yeah.
All right. God, you're no fun.
No.
All right. You know, we're on the YouTube now, so the people might have liked to see you wiggle a little bit.
No, nobody is going to see that. No wiggle. Nobody pays to see that.
Everybody pays to see
that. My number what? My second cut.
Second cut.
Ooh, I like this one.
We'll see.
Well.
Nope, can't find it.
Nope.
You know, every week now you seem to have difficulty with your laptop.
Well, quite honestly, I think somebody else in my household is on Amazon.
You're
going to
blame your children.
Streaming and I have to bump them off.
Oh, okay. You can only have one at a time?
Apparently. Ooh.
Geronimo's Rifle.
This is Benny Goodman's Corset. There you go.
Good old Cheryl.
Little Cheryl Crow, yeah.
Mrs. Armstrong.
Former
Mrs. Armstrong.
If it makes you happy, Cheryl Crow, number 22 this week. Cheryl Crow has sold more than 50 million albums worldwide. She's a 9-time Grammy Award winner, nominated 32 times. She's an actress. She's been on 30 Rock, NCIS, NCIS New Orleans. Yeah.
Everything.
Good pick there, Cheryl Crow. Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2023.
First of all, NCIS. No,
don't say it's good.
NCIS New Orleans has Scott Bakula, formerly of Quantum Leap. So
all right.
Be careful.
We'll give him that.
It's Bakula.
Okay.
All right.
The song peaked at number 10. On the Billboard Hot 100, spent 27 weeks. It was her final top 10 solo hit in the United States. Released as a lead single from her 1996 self-titled album, won a Grammy for Best Female Rock Vocal Performance.
She's great.
Q Magazine, no longer a thing, by the way, ranked it. If It Makes You Happy, at number 663 on their list of the 1,001 best songs ever.
Ever.
Slant Magazine listed it at number 192 in their ranking of the 100 best singles of 1990s. Originally conceived as a country song. Descriptors include shuffling trad rock, weary, sexily exhausted, a straight ahead rocker, darkly moody, and country tinged.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Trivia for Crow has had several high profile romantic relationships, including Eric Clapton.
Yes.
And cyclist Lance Armstrong.
There he is.
She was also connected to which actor long associated with filmmaker Wes Anderson and has starred in films such as Bottle Rocket, The Royal Tenenbaums, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Zoolander, and the Night at the Museum film series.
Feels like there's a lot of options there, but we'll go with Ben Stiller.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. Owen Wilson.
I was thinking Owen Wilson, too.
The song Safe and Sound on the album Come On, Come On was dedicated to Wilson, and according to the album's liner notes, was an account of the relationship.
Wow.
There you go.
Since Owen Wilson likes to say that. Wow.
Wow.
So, you know, back to Bakula. You know, you and I watched a Bakula movie together. Remember that movie in the 90s? It was a football movie, Necessary Roughness. He was like a 40-year-old they brought back to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
And Kathy Ireland was the kicker. and the Samoan guy blocked for her.
Yes.
That was a horrible movie.
Yeah. I totally forgot.
They were the armadillos or something like that.
That's right.
Why do I recall any of that movie?
We went to the theater and saw
it. We might have. That's bad. We were one of the six people that paid a ticket to watch that.
We did.
So, well, my second cut comes from kind of a little known band. They're called Dog's Eye View. Interesting. Hadn't heard of them. But the song is Everything Falls Apart.
I remember the song.
Oh, yeah. It's on the radio. Radio friendly. He has an interesting singing voice. Very mid-90s, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's got kind of that Gin Blossoms feel to it. And
then here comes this part right here. He kind of feels like he's singing off the beat that they're playing.
Yeah.
But it works into the song, I guess. So, well, this was number 75 this week. Fun little rock song. Nothing spectacular. Good listen. Just make you feel good. Kind of like the Gin Blossoms, you said. That was their inspiration. Yeah. I don't know. This got as high as number 66 on the US Hot 100, but was number one on the adult alternative songs. Number five in Australia. Well, they really liked it. It's a cut because it's memorable and catchy. Not the greatest song in the 90s. I could see it being forgettable. Mm-hmm. And then when you hear it, you go, oh yeah, I remember that song.
Yeah.
Like it was around. But I put it on playlists because it makes me feel good. I'll remember it fondly and not shuffle to the next song because sometimes I shuffle.
Yeah.
Just depends what mood I'm in. And that's no small thing for Dog's Eye View because I have an impeccable ear for music. So if I don't shuffle you on my playlist, you should feel honored.
Wow.
So kudos to you, Dog's Eye View. I know you're listening. So there you go.
Yeah. I'm sure they're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every week. Because they're like, we're going to get mentioned. We just have to hold on. It's 96. This is our moment. This could be it.
Out of how many millions of podcasts out there?
Yeah, they're tuning into this little
obscure podcast.
Because they know.
Well, yeah.
We're not as obscure as we used to be.
No, that's true.
We're like less obscure.
Less obscure.
There you go.
That's right.
All right.
We're at my honorable mention,
which you were so excited. I am talking about the whole list.
Yeah. So here we go.
Good.
Yeah.
It is good. I won't disagree with you.
This is also another song my daughter listened to. She said, this song is vibing. She likes, that's the new word apparently.
It's vibing.
Yeah.
Is it a banger?
I think it's better than a banger. It needs more respect than a banger.
You should have got some of the chorus into this, but that's okay.
Yeah, there's a little, because you got Lauryn Hill. You can hear her coming. A
little bit.
You can hear her coming. She's back there.
She's somewhere.
Yeah, she's coming up. But yeah. Anyway, so this is If I Rule the World.
Yeah.
By Nas.
I had this CD.
I did too. And I think I remember listening to it and it just wasn't in my wheelhouse at the time. And
didn't make it all the way.
Yeah. So this is number 66 this week in 96. Would peak at number 53. Feels like it should have peaked higher. American rapper Nas featuring fellow American singer Lauryn Hill. First single from his second album, It Was Written. The single marked Hill's first musical appearance outside of the Fugees.
Play some of the chorus so people know the chorus. That's how people remember the song, is the chorus. I want to hear the If I Rule the World. Yeah. You got to do better prep on your timings. That's not it.
No, it's not.
It's all good. All right, you can shut her down.
Got a little.
That's fine.
There's Lauryn Hill. You can
I like the If I Rule the World. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, right. No, that's a good call. first single since it was Nas's first single to gain mainstream notice. The song was nominated for a 1997 Grammy Award for Best Rap Solo Performance. I did not look to see who it lost to.
You know, we've said it before, but other rappers always cite Nas as like the best rapper.
So I'd be curious to know who he lost to in 97.
You know, you could have looked that up.
And I didn't do it.
Yeah, perfect.
It is considered to be one of the greatest rap songs of all time by many publications.
You're going to look up some obscure trivia question, but why figure out the important information?
It's not important. It's not important. it is considered to be one of the greatest rap songs. I said that. June 21, the song was certified platinum, became Nas's first single to achieve this. Descriptors include one of the most memorable choruses of the era. Look at you.
There you go.
A really appealing track with an addictive chorus, some great vocals, and a laid-back but still serious rap. Cruisin' Smash is what it was called. A little trivia from 2001 to 2005, Nas was involved in a highly publicized feud with what New York-based rapper?
Ooh. I don't get options.
Nope.
There's a million New York-based rappers.
No.
Method Man.
Ah, I'm
No. Jay-Z.
All right.
After squashing the feud, Nas signed to Jay-Z's Def Jam Recordings in 2006.
Well, that was good for him.
Yeah. So there you go.
I'd follow Jay-Z anywhere.
Would you?
I don't know.
You don't know.
You know, I wasn't as big a Jay-Z fan. I didn't pick him up till the late 90s when he started doing like Hard Knock Life and stuff like that.
He made it fairly prominently in our urban contemporary.
What I really like in the early 2000s is when he did that mixed CD with Linkin Park. That's good.
That was cool.
I like it.
Yeah, that was good.
I used to have that CD, but I lost it.
That was like the first mashup kind of. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, my honorable mention's probably going to surprise you a little bit.
Maybe not.
No, I think it will.
Okay.
I'm going to play it. I'm going to see if it surprises you a little bit.
Oh, come on.
Love this. The harmonies are fantastic.
Okay.
I told you you'd be surprised.
I want to hear this. I want to hear your justification for picking this pile of crap.
This is not a pile of crap. You're crazy. You've seen her live.
Well, I had ulterior motives.
But you still got
to see. I thought it would work. I couldn't seal the deal.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I'll fully admit. Well, first of all, Because You Loved Me by Celine Dion. I fully admit that I did not listen to.
You had to say it with the French.
Well, I took French in high school. Okay. I did not listen to Celine at this time in 96. I was too much into rap and rock in my life. But as I've gotten older, Rob, I have found that I like listening to this now. So here it is. In fact, I really like this song. I belt it out proudly in the car. This is one of those, if it comes on, I turn it up.
Do you feel better now that you've got that off your chest?
I do. I like
it. You've announced it.
I do. I like it. Okay. Celine had this song at number 45 this week and was the theme song for the 1996 film Up Close and Personal. Pretty big song. Went to number one on the US Hot 100, number one in Australia, Canada, Panama. I think that's my first Panama reference.
Okay.
And her home of Quebec. No shock there.
Quebec.
It was also in the top 10 in 10 other countries, nominated for 2 Grammys, losing to Toni Braxton. That's fine. And an Academy Award, losing to a song from the movie Evita, Madonna.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. It sold more than 5 million copies, so it was highly successful. I'm a closet fan of early to mid-90s Celine songs now, and this is a great one to sing along to. It just gets me emotional.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit. It gets me in my feels, as the kids used to say. I don't know if they say it anymore.
I don't know.
And it's vibing.
No, it's not vibing. I don't think you're using that word correctly.
I think vibin'. I am. It's vibing.
Vibing? Whatever.
Yeah. You know, we should listen to that song later.
We shouldn't.
I didn't. It's my honorable mention because I didn't listen in 96 because I was way too into rap and rock.
Okay.
And now as I've gotten older become a sophisticated man, I'm like, you know what? Celine Dion sounds good.
Wow. You're a sophisticated man.
I am.
Wow. Okay. I've learned more about you.
Yes.
In this episode than.
Wow.
Yeah. I found out you're a club rat.
Club rat.
You're a closeted Celine Dion fan.
Fan.
Yeah.
Sophisticated man.
You get emotional.
I get emotional.
Wow.
I'm not as equestrianly skilled as you are.
Yeah, no.
Although it feels like a prerequisite if you're going to be a club rat. Have to be good at the equestrian part.
It seems like that should be part of the description.
It might have been.
All right.
My wife's not listening to this. It might have been. So it's fine.
Okay.
All right. Well, that takes us to our long and awaited number ones.
Number one.
Everyone is waiting at the edge of their seats to what you could have picked. Is it going to be slow and sappy? Is it going to be something weird?
Yeah, this number one is.
I think I know what your number one is.
Do you?
I think so. But we'll see.
Okay.
Was it number 90 on the countdown?
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Look at that. Absolutely correct. Well, let's let our fans hear it.
Wow. All right.
It wasn't hard to figure out, Rob.
You're a jerk.
I'm a jerk.
I'm that predictable, huh?
No, but I mean, it hadn't been on the countdown yet.
Yeah.
So there's no way it couldn't have been on the countdown, period. Yeah.
And I have an explanation as to why I picked it.
So this is... Go ahead.
No, go for it.
Well, no. Tell us what it is.
Okay, so this is Who You Are by Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
So this, I'm going to be honest, is more of a version of Pearl Jam I wasn't as into.
Agreed.
Because I felt it got a little folksy, kind of country-ish or like a Traveling Wilburys type of
yeah, it was a
thing.
It was a big departure from, yes. you know, because prior to that it was Versus, it was yes. 10, it was Vitalogy, yes. it was, you know, so then you get here and it.
And we're going to do a whole Pearl Jam thing, yeah. but this is kind of where I was like, I kind of didn't like the folksy yeah. turn, I guess yeah. is the best way.
Yeah.
And but Eddie's a genius. Yeah. So he's got it.
No. And I'm going to acknowledge that there were probably better songs to pick for a number one, but for me, this one sat
in of
a
course.
Real, we go back to the nostalgia piece. So this was number 90 of this week in 1996. It peaked at number 31. It's Pearl Jam. It was their first single from the band's fourth album, No Code. The record was more diverse. Fans were very disappointed. It was called Inconsistent.
Yep.
The album became the first Pearl Jam album to not reach multi-platinum status. Right. No Code represented a deliberate break from the 10 stadium sound. Mike McCready has been quoted as saying, I think we kind of rushed it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Producer Brendan O'Brien said it was really a transitional record. We had a good time making it. Vedder said, I think there's a little self-examination in those songs, something that a lot of my friends are going through too as they approach 30. We realized that we had an opportunity to experiment. Vedder has admitted that the choice of Who You Are as the first single for No Code was a conscious decision intended to keep the size of the band's audience down. Jeff Ament says, in some ways, it's the band's story. It's about growing up.
Okay.
And I put admittedly not the best track on this list, but it holds a nostalgic place in my life. Cruising around in my 87 Toyota Corolla, No Code came out at a time when I was at a transition in my life. 10 versus Vitalogy were chapters. No Code was another chapter, and it reflected my life in a way, self-examination, growing up, transitional, a deliberate break from the norm. And that's what, this was like one of the first albums that I listened to and I went, oh, it can be different. Like it and they, so I just really liked it. So
they didn't care about commercial success on this one at all.
And I just, it really mirrored my life at that time. So, the album package consisted of 156 Polaroid photos that unfolded into a 2x2 square. The Polaroid photos are seemingly random. Yeah. One of the photos featured on the front cover is the eyeball of what former NBA player referred to as arguably the best rebounding forward in NBA history?
Dennis Rodman.
Excellent!
Yeah. Yeah.
Last thing I'll say about this. When discussing the album's title, Vedder said it's called No Code because it's full of code. It's misinformation. In medical terminology, a no-code order is a medical order to withhold CPR on a patient. It is also known as a do-not-resuscitate order. In another interview, Vedder said that if the record is a complete failure, you have to kind of own up to it in a subliminal way. No-code was the same thing. For me, no-code meant do-not-resuscitate.
Yes.
So I think it was a way of them saying, yeah, they realized that this is probably not their best stuff.
They got smart.
Do not resuscitate. We're going to, you know, anyway.
Well, PSA folks, didn't preface this before I let him go off on it. It hasn't happened very often, but if we give him a platform to talk about Pearl Jam, you can go ahead and give him about a 5-minute window because he's going to find. And I'm sure he left a lot out of that. So, anyway. So that's good. Good number one. Yeah. Before we go to my number one, I do have beef now. I know your list. I saw all the even songs.
Oh.
You had two Keith Sweat songs and you didn't either one of them. And they're both awesome. So good. And Oasis's Don't Look Back in Anger is on your list. Oasis. And you didn't have that on there either.
I'm going to make this a claim right now. Oasis won't make a list.
That is my favorite Oasis song.
You can put him on any list you want. Whatever. I will not put him
You're crazy.
No, I won't.
All right.
We'll talk about the songs that were left on the
cutting room. I know we will. Okay. All right. Well, my number one had a really wacky video. And if you haven't seen it, head on over to the YouTube and check it out because it's definitely interesting, even for 90s videos. It is Tonight Tonight by Smashing Pumpkins.
That whole album is
great. Melancholy.
Phenomenal.
Yes. Infinite sadness.
They kind of peaked, right? They hit that album. It was like he all of his creative juices were put
right
into
it.
Done. He spent it.
That's so great.
Done. Good song. Yeah, the video was weird. This was with the moon and the.
Oh, yeah. It's all wacky.
Like old school, like. Astronomy and stuff.
It's something.
Yeah.
Really good, though. Great album.
That's a good album.
Number 73 this week for Billy and the Band. Billy turned out to be a jerk, of course, but made some good music. The song would only get to number 36 on the US Hot 100, but number 4 on the mainstream rock charts. However, did go number 1 in Iceland, Rob, and number 2 in New Zealand. Sounds like a typical Pumpkin song. Well, maybe a little more somber and melodic, but to be fair, the album Melancholy and Infinite Sadness already tells you in the title. It would be a little less loud than their previous albums and a little more emotional. Mm-hmm. Back to some emotions.
That's right.
Right. Fun fact, Billy told Howard Stern the song is a tribute to the band Cheap Trick.
Really?
On an interview, yes.
Oh.
I listened to it. I don't understand the correlation. Yeah. But he says he wrote it as a tribute to Cheap Trick.
I'd be curious.
Does he think it sounds like Cheap Trick? Or the lyrics didn't get me anywhere with that, but Billy's a cerebral guy. He's really smart.
Yeah.
So if he thinks it works, he thinks it works. And then, you know, Howard Stern would just be like, take your shirt off, Billy.
Take your shirt off, Billy. Yeah.
Well, you got to shock jock a little with Howard Stern.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
No, good song.
I took a dump of a radio station, made it number one. WNBC, right? That's right. Well, that's my number one, Tonight.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Real good.
All right. Well, Cutting Room, I already mentioned a couple of yours. Yeah. A couple I left off. Another Celine Dion track. It's All Coming Back to Me Now. Really good. I've got Where Do You Go by No Mercy. I don't know if you remember that one. Where do you go,
my
lovely? That, it's kind that, of a dance that,
I
club
was gonna
song.
Say, that was a club song. Yep. You and your club rat. Club rat
days. You Learn by Alanis Morissette. Not my favorite, so that's why I make. Give Me One Reason, Tracy Chapman. No thanks. Blue by Leanne Rimes. No thanks.
No thanks.
And Strawberry Wine, which you've had on the countdowns before in our drinking songs
great
episode.
Great country song.
Great strong, but it was there. I wouldn't have picked it. And I didn't pick it, as it turns out. So, what do you got?
Oh, man.
We know you left off Key Sweat. We know you left Twisted. Off Oasis.
Yeah, Key Sweat's on the list. I see it there.
How could you leave that off?
You get Dishwalla, Counting Blue Cars. I like that one.
I thought you would have gone there too.
That was a good one. I did have that one. I liked it. The thing that the one that I thought you would call out was That Thing You Do.
Yeah,
that was on the list from
just
from
on our previous movies.
From the Oneaters.
It was on our previous movies episode, so I kind of thought you wouldn't go to it just to kind of keep it fresh.
Yeah, What Kind of Man Would I Be by Mint Condition that was very featured good. On a previous
the other Nutty Professor song. I think it was a number 9 or number 10 as yet or 12 or something. Oh, yeah.
Last night.
Last night, boy, that's a good song. Yeah. That is a booty of a booty.
That
gem
is a
song.
Booty gem. Yeah. And they don't hide it.
The lyrics in that are, last night, I was inside of you.
I was inside of you. Yeah. There is no not other way subtle. To interpret that. Macarena.
Yeah.
Nobody Knows, the Tony Bridge Project.
How could you not put Macarena on there, Rob?
Aaliyah, If Your Girl Only Knew.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I could have swore you'd put Macarena on there.
Key West Intermezzo, John Mellencamp.
I thought you were going to put that on there.
I totally forgot about that song.
Was that Michelle?
I don't think she was in that one. Okay. But that I remember hearing that song and. Yeah. Going, that was on the radio all the time.
So, anyway. Well, so we left quite a few out, but I think we got the best ones, except for Oasis. You should have got that, but that's
it
fine.
It will not make
Keith
a list.
Sweat should have been on there.
Telling you.
Sweat.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you enjoy this podcast, please take a second to give it 5 stars. Drop us a review. We'd like to hear what you think. Also, check out our website at totally80s90srecall@podbean.com, where you can find links to all our social media sites, as well as subscribing to our Facebook group for weekly updates and future episode ideas. If you want to get in touch with us, email the show at 80s90srecall@gmail.com, which allows you to recommend future show ideas, comment on previous topics, and ask us questions, which we'll feature on future mailbag episodes. Finally, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you'd like to see Rob and I while you're listening. We look great. We're awesome. Links to all of our social media, merchandise store, and email are included in the show notes, so be sure to check them all out after this episode. So before we close, Rob, you got anything else about today's list from 96?
No, I think we should be very proud of that list. That's a good list.
Good list.
You know, that we said at the beginning, I was excited for that list.
Choo,
it's very, very eclectic.
You talked a lot about the equestrianism, and then Genuine did not make your list because Pony was definitely a part of that list.
No,
I thought for sure you'd have at least played it for our fans after the buildup.
And I left some lyrics out that just wouldn't have been appropriate.
We have mood music. You could have played some of those lyrics. That's fine. So.
I could have. A little. Yep. No.
All right. Well, it's a major.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, it's a major bummer, but that brings us to the end of this episode. We hope you've enjoyed our choices for the best songs off the Billboard Hot 100 for this week in 1996. If you like today's musical choices, we've provided links to Spotify, Apple, and Amazon playlists in the show notes, so you can really experience all of these great songs in their full capacity. Finally, we'd like to thank all of our listeners, whether you're first-timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob and I. Hopefully, we gave you an hour or so of some laughs. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday. We do it on Tuesdays because on Saturdays and Sundays, or Fridays and Saturdays, I have to relive my club rat days.
Oh, for crying out loud. Do you remember one time we went to the club, the Copper Penny?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I don't know. We either got kicked out.
No.
Or we, you had to tuck in your shirt.
Yeah, maybe.
I remember that.
I was stupid. I was a little slobby back then.
Yeah.
That's fine.
They made me tuck in my, I was like wearing a sweater. Yeah. Now I'm walking around with my sweater tucked in. I look like an idiot.
A tucked sweater looks good. Sharp.
Oh, whatever.
Sharp dressed man.
No, I wasn't.
A sophisticated man. So
out of my league. Well, anyway, what are we doing next time?
Next time. Oh, exciting. 30th anniversary of 1993's great family baseball movie, The Sandlot.
One of my faves.
It is awesome. Yeah.
Very quotable.
We'll have a lot of fun with that. Yeah. The movie hand will join us.
Oh.
And we'll have a good time.
He's going to be back in the house.
Back in the house.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
we've been keeping him outside.
I know.
So we're going to let him back in the house.
We never let him in.
Nope.
Into the clubhouse. Nope. He's not allowed.
Nope. We have been taking some photos of him lately, reenacting the cover art for Snoop Dogg's doggy style video, right?
Yeah, no.
So the movie hound just running around out there. No. A dog without a bone.
That's right.
So, well, Rob, you got anything else?
I got nothing else.
Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbye.
No.
None.
I love that Oasis song. Should have played it. Should have played Pony.
Oasis is awful.
No.
They're never going to make my list. Ever.
Everyone likes Oasis except for you.
That's fine.
Go look at their sales numbers.
That's fine.
Everyone except you.